Good morning, Gamecock fans. It is Friday, August 21st, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. I think my beard is looking rather Amish now that I've noticed it. It's kind of filled out a little bit, but anyway, gotta go churn some butter after this, right? So, glad to be with you today. We got lots going on here at Chief Sports Network. We got Four Quarter Friday Live, the show. With Matt and Rob coming up. There was a lot of action last night. If you are interested in high school football, follow along on our live blog. We're in the process of tweaking that. It got a little cumbersome with a limited schedule last night. But Rob was out at Abbeville Salute, a great game, 35-33. The Panthers won on the road, had a 13-0 deficit. Salute, a tough team, kept coming back. And then Myrtle Beach defense, 61-20, Marlboro County up in Bennettsville. They just kept scoring and scoring. Boy, Marlboro County's got some athletes, I tell you. And they just rolled up on the Seahawks, 61-20 last night. Lots of other scores across the state. Number one team in 1A, Fairfield Central. It got a really good receiver. I like Taquarius Shannon, I think is his name. But they beat Lower Richland 34-7, so the number one team in the media poll in 1A off to a fast start. Lots of score. All the scores are up on fourquarterfriday.com. And then, of course, tonight we kick off our high school coverage on the Chief Sports Network. Live streamed games on there. There are a couple, maybe the actual broadcast has changed and we got to fix the link on it, but you can check that out on the Chief Sports app, free download. Stream your favorite team's game, and then tonight, Phil Kornblut, our partner at the South Carolina Network Sports Talk. Oh, is it Sports Talk, not the South Carolina Network? They'll have the scoreboard show tonight, so you could tune in, listen to Phil, like we've all done, if you're my age, since we were kids, and listen to the high school scores. I used to love doing that because I knew college, not this week, not next week, but the next. Yeah, that college football is coming on Saturday, so it's exciting to hear all the high school scores from around the state. Certainly was exciting last night. A little weird moving everything back a day, but certainly football is back. On the show today, Phil and I will be in with Matt Anderson in the third hour. But before that, you got John Strickland, you got Michael Flint. I think we know Flint's kind of the mystery guy. Rafael Esparza will be in as we continue to churn toward football season. And, our football season lineup is starting to kind of form. Really glad to have Wes Mitchell and Chris Clark from Gamecock Central as part of that lineup this year. I think they've actually improved the show with what they bring. And you've heard me talk about encouraging everybody to listen to Gamecock Central Live. I didn't listen to it that much just because they were a competitor when I was at the old site. It's not that I was mad or anything. It's just, it wasn't something that was on my radar, kind of concentrating on what we do. But the more I listen to him, like I said, I'm a fan. So I'm thrilled to death that those guys have given us their time to join us here on ITG, all part of the same team, GamecockCentral.com and TheBigSpur.com. Check out all the scrimmage coverage this weekend. We still got the special going on three. Has extended that $29.95. It's $249 a month. You won't pay again till we're talking about the second scrimmage next year for 2027. And I would assume that at this time next year, we'll be having a lot of different discussions about position battles. Of course, a lot of new names because South Carolina does recruit the portal and recruit regularly. And so it'll be a different set of topics 365 days from today. But if you join today, you won't have to pay again till then. So you get all that basketball, baseball. It's a really good deal, folks. Really, really good deal. Not a huge long episode of coffee this morning because there is a second scrimmage coming up Saturday. It's Separation Saturday. That's what I'm calling it. This is the scrimmage where I think the coaches really are digging in individually to see who can help them, who's going to start. They're evaluating a lot of tape individually at all times. But in my experience, this is the covering the team. This is kind of when the meat separates from the bone. And you've heard that from Shane Beamer, and you've heard that from assistant coaches early before camp even started. We need somebody to separate at the position, jump up and take this thing. And that's at kicker. That's in some ways at running back. That's in the receiver room. I think those are good battles to have, though, because what you're hearing is, well, they want one guy to take it because everybody's pretty good. So how good will that guy be if he takes it? It's kind of like a projection. How are you? If you're beating these guys out in practice, chances are in games you're going to be able to go out and compete. And I think that's the case with the South Carolina offense, offensive line, all that going against South Carolina's defense every day. Just based on what we've kind of picked up, I don't think the defense was too happy about the offense having success there. So they've sort of locked in, and the defense, let's just say the defense had a pretty good week. I don't think it's any reason to be concerned about the offense, but there's a lot of dudes on that defense when they lock in. I mean, you're talking about, defensive tackle Gabriel Brownlow Dindy type of guy, those monster linebackers. For a while at linebacker too, I thought maybe Sean Murphy, Fred Johnson would start. I think it's probably gonna be Fred and Justin. Justin's had too good of an off season, from what I'm picking up. But I'll have a final projected depth chart. And look, it's like, I try to be with the projected depth chart a little like Lenardi. But Lenardi's wrong sometimes too, so don't kill me because it's hard to predict because you just don't know. Like sometimes you're like, you kind of know who will start. That's a little bit easier. But then the two deep, you may have a guy, like Nolan Hayes been working some at left guard. So is he the second left guard, or and will they put that on the depth chart? You just never know. You're kind of predicting a press release when you're doing that. But I'll have that out, folks, and I do think there'll be some interesting changes, depending on what happens on Saturday. But that gets started Saturday afternoon. It's not at night; it's an afternoon scrimmage, and then the Gamecocks go into their mock game week next week, the dress rehearsal, if you will. And then it's Kent State's coming to town, and so we'll have a game week that week. Today, gonna kind of get into a guy that's caused a lot of discussion in a good way. And that's Mazio Bennett, the wide receiver from Greenville, South Carolina. Now, I think that sometimes with football teams, college football teams, I think we pick up on what's kind of called this, it's the sideline narrative. And hear me out. That's something that the sideline reporter will probably talk about in a game, right? Well, he did this, 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 and this. The controversy about Lenora Sellers and the degree. I mean, guys, gals, th this is common. It's this is not, and this is not even an NIL thing or a portal thing. There's been players in this program before that have had one cl two classes, grad a couple of grad classes or one class to graduate. There's been players before that have gotten waivers that, I mean, this is not this fact that he's just doing an internship this year. This is very common. And it's super common with regular old students. So we're gonna make these guys. I mean, I saw some really, really terrible comments about it. And I forgive those people because, I just think they're misguided. And I don't think they have all the facts. They may not have followed or been aware of. This is not like one of those other new things where, it's easy to be like, hey, these guys are driving Lamborghinis or whatever. What are we doing? They should at least have to go to school. This is not that. It's easy to get that mixed up, but you're sadly mistaken. This is a very normal thing. I actually think it's admirable that Lenore Sellers is only an internship away from graduating. Isn't that cool? I mean, don't we normally celebrate that? Academic overachievement by your starting quarterback, isn't that good? And I don't know that it was anybody, but just people that just popping off on X. And most Gamecock fans have just been like, and I think too, you do have the Instagram crowd that's out that just puts out, oh, he's just doing this, and like then lets everybody else comment about it. Yeah, I think it sucks. our world we live in. But that's something, that I believe, if, the crowd on Twitter that doesn't know their butt from a hole in the ground about it, about anything to do with this situation, that's the kind of thing normally a sideline reporter would say. Hey, Lenore Sellers is blah 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 blah. It's very interesting. He's doing an internship at a local golf course, picking up golf balls. He's ahead academically. Blah blah. He's going to graduate. Blah blah blah. Kick it back to you, Tommy. Mazio Bennett's narrative is that because it's different. Like he made a different choice. Okay. I never heard he was going in the portal. Like there was no behind the scenes, but there was a lot of assumption. Maybe not behind the scenes, but it was, I just was like, hey, he just doesn't look like himself. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year for everybody, and then it was Brian. And then, Brian Rowe left kind of like that. I said, I'm frustrated, with the offense or whatever. But Mazio didn't do it. And Mazio, the thing about him from the time he was at Greenville, you hear the word competitor. He's a big time competitor. And I think that's why he was able to step in as a freshman and do some really positive things. Was he perfect? No. Did he set the world on fire? No. But especially early in the season to about to the Alabama game. I think he did some other things in some games down the stretch, but Alabama, when he caught the 4th and 10 and made some plays in that one, he was really a surprising freshman. And then things happened. He got a little banged up against A&M, down the stretch, caught some balls here and there, led the room, the receiving room in receptions as a true freshman out of Greenville High School. And there were a lot of high expectations for him. They brought in a lot of players behind him because they didn't have anybody. But him, he had him and, Jared Brown was there and Dr Jacobs and Harbor, but you need receivers. So they brought some guys in and, for whatever reason, a lot of those guys played ahead of him and were better on the field, just to be honest, in games. And he had a good spring last year. He's talking about Mike Furry. People talked about how he's improved with his route running and stuff. I think, I've never gotten an explanation as to why exactly, what were the reasons? And I don't care, if it's off the field or something going on in his life. It's none of my business. It's not anybody's business. But instead of leaving and saying, oh, it's too hard. Oh, woe is me. This is not working out, and blaming his environment and blaming everybody else, he took ownership of it and said, you know what? And his quote was, I didn't stay at home to leave. I didn't stay at home to fail. And he's gotten back and worked. I don't know that he would have beaten out Pup Sellers at slot, but even if Pup hadn't gotten hurt, there was a chance he could have. He's giving him, well, they're giving each other a run for their money. He had an excellent scrimmage. Chris Lowe from On Three, who visited with the staff, got to go behind the scenes, talk to a bunch of people, do some Gamecock reports. He does that, goes across the great state, or I'm sorry, the great country of ours, and visits with schools. South Carolinian, he had in his report how fired up they were about Mazio Bennett. Jamie Bradford reports that Mazio is one of the best players in camp, in all of the best players in camp, and so. You got to respect that. He had my respect, regardless if he'd have made a move to start or not. But you got to respect the guy that says, all right, in this world where naturally, and this part of this is because of recruiting and the 20 years we've done spent building this recruiting thing in the portal. When you have a down year, the tendency is to want to, everybody wants to replace your own players. Even when you have a good year, it's nice to, and that's human nature. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think it's always the right answer, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with, being more interested in hearing about Sequel Patterson than Mazio Bennett. Everybody does it. Heck, we all do it. We like the new, because the new is kind of the unknown, it's uncertain, and it kind of gives you hope. Or more hope, It's harder to swallow the hope on a guy that struggled last year as opposed to a guy that's new that has awesome high school film or put up numbers at another place. Then you can tangibly see that and compare. There's nothing wrong, you know, like I do think there's something wrong with the thinking on the Lenore Sellers thing. I think that's wild, but I don't think there's anything wrong with fans and anybody, you know, kind of being more interested. I'm not saying they're trashing them or anything, but more interested in the new guy. It's just how it is, right? The sports. So I get it. You know, I totally get it. But so with Mazio too, you kind of want to dig into and go back to 2024. And okay, so what made him promising? Because I don't, you know, I'm not saying I don't think he was special the first year. I think he did special things at sometimes. I think he's a special person as far as what he did coming back, and facing the music and taking ownership. Those are special qualities. As a player, I think he's pretty good, quite good and promising, but needed to get better. And just to wrap a bow on the sideline thing, that's the kind of thing you hear on the sideline about Mazio. He was just in this era of hitting the portal. He really struggled last year, but he met with Coach Beamer and Coach Furry, and they got him right. And now he's out here starting and blah blah blah. You know, you could hear that. And so that's one thing. That's a narrative. That's a sideline narrative thing, and it also kind of takes you on to the sideline of the actual football, you know, to the side. But what about him as a player? And that's what I was getting to here. I don't think he was special. But not a lot of guys are as freshmen. Faro Cooper did some special things his first year. He caught six passes. The next year, 70, I think. I think he caught 70. What Faro Cooper get? 2014? Yeah, 69 passes. Yeah, so he got, yeah, right, you know. But so I think there was some work to do between 24 and 25 for him to get better. And so now you got to kind of almost go back to 24 and say, okay, well, from that point, what's the build? And it's kind of simple. It's kind of simple because it's kind of a it's been applicable to the receivers here really for the last couple of years, 24 and 25. I think it's yardage after catch. I think it's, you know, this offense under Kendall Briles will get the ball to him in space. I think it's acceleration downfield. You know, I think that a lot of what Mazio did that everybody remembers is, you know, kind of longer passes. You know, the play against Kentucky or two plays against Kentucky, he got loose in the secondary. That's one great thing about him that is kind of special. People lose, they lose him in coverage. I mean, that happened a couple of times. It happened against Alabama on that 4th and 10. But Mazio play in space, catch a slant, turn up field. You know, what's that look like? In high school, it looked pretty good. In high school, too, you know, we've been talking about who can go up and get it and catch it in traffic. That dude could do that. So, you know, I always thought that his game as a freshman, and he wasn't quite as far along as this guy was as a freshman, but he's a similar receiver to Kenny McKinley. Kind of that quick-footed, slippery kind of guy. Really fundamentally sound, good hands, all that good stuff. That's who he kind of reminds me of, is Kenny McKinley. Kenny McKinley caught a ton of passes and was a great person. And, you know, we know what tragically happened to Kenny, but it was, that's who he kind of reminds me of, at what or did as a freshman. But he's got to build on that to get to that level. But apparently, according to, you know, everybody, scrimmage practices, whatever, he's doing that. And then, you know, there's some, so that's tangible. That's not a sideline narrative. Like, you know, what's Mazio doing to improve? What's he improved upon? And what does he need to improve upon in games? Because the games haven't started yet. So it's yards after catch. I think always route running. I think in this system, being quick and precise with your routes. And I think the big thing too, because we talk about what can slow it down, what can slow down this type of offense. Because if you couldn't stop, if it was unstoppable just because of the scheme you ran, everybody'd run it. We're almost up to half of the SEC running it, 6 out of the 16. But what and drop passes can really kill you. And Mazio didn't really show. He didn't really drop, man. He's got good hands. That's one of the good things about him, his hands. So, but you can't drop passes. You got to make plays in space. I think there's some elusiveness there that I'd like to see a little more of in games. And I haven't gotten too specific. Because you're kind of checking in on 110 players and the team. I haven't really checked with any contacts about, hey, how elusive is Mazio? I don't know that get a very good answer for that question either way. But those are kind of the things you want to see out of your slot guy. Slot guys too, they're crafty route runners, that kind of thing. That was something that was Mike Furry was talking about in last spring heading 2025, he had improved on. And so kind of you hope that that keeps going and all that. But this would be a very welcome development. I think that sometimes when a guy gets off to a good start in his career, it's happened a few times through the years at Carolina. Dion LeCorn back in 07 had a really good start as to his freshman year. I mean, I think he was him and McKinley were the two top receivers on the team by the end of the year. And then he got hurt, and then he just kind of went away. He was a big four-star guy out of Ocala, Florida. And so he kind of went backward or went away. And with the transfer portal now, most guys just leave. They don't languish on the depth chart. And I think LeCorn was injury related. And usually it's like that. But, I think that there's nothing wrong with a guy coming back and saying, hey, my bad on last year. Let's go and have an even better this year, like a do-over, like a mulligan. And that's really the theme of this entire season, folks. It's a do-over. It's a mulligan. It's an opportunity. And I think Mazio Bennett embodies that. And I think that's not a sideline narrative. That's kind of what it is, right? What it is going to be this year. All right. Don't forget Inside the Gamecocks, the show coming up later with Matt Anderson, the morning show before that, Four Quarter Friday before that. Don't forget the bigspur.com, gamecockcentral.com. And this will do it for coffee for the week. I've enjoyed rambling on with you and appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back with scrimmage stuff. Mock game week stuff next week. Shout out to Carolina Soccer for beating Clemson last night. The women won game. Jamie will have a lot of stuff about that in his Gamecock report on the morning show. And I'm JC Sherbert, and I am out. Holla.